pleasant adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Daffy Duck. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Gaston's Interior Design. We use antlers in all of our decorations.
To all who have come to the podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have new episodes coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, so why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for Obscure Disney Podcast or go to obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Steve, I am a Disneyland purist.
You absolutely are.
That
is true.
That?
I know.
Is that obvious?
There's a few things I know about you, and that's one of them. For sure.
Disneyland is my park. It is my place. Yeah. I love it more than anything. And so
the other 50,000 people that show up a day, that it's not their park.
They're such posers.
Right. They're just there to support
I'm the
you.
The real deal. They're there to get in the way is what they are. You need to go home.
Right. That's true.
So it's always difficult for me to admit when another park did it first, specifically right. Walt Disney World, because it's almost a competition between the two parks here in the United States.
And it's not only that way for you. It's that way for a lot of people. Right. Everybody has a home park and they right. all want their home. It's like the Disney sports team league.
Right.
It's kind of like whose park is better.
Right.
It's true.
And I think Disneyland is phenomenal because it's Walt's real park. He had his hands all over it. It was the initial concept. It was the beginning of all the ideas. And so I have a real affinity for Disneyland specifically.
Yeah.
So on this podcast, I thought I would educate myself. And we would look into things that Walt Disney World did first.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
And Disney does everything better than you.
No, they don't.
So I thought it would be interesting because I know there are things that Walt Disney World did first.
Yeah.
I don't like to admit it.
We could only think of like one or two, though, originally.
Yeah, and then we did research and we're like, oh, they actually did quite a few things
yeah,
first.
Once we started thinking about it a little bit, we were able to find quite a few more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's just dive right in with the first one. It's Tough to Be a Bug.
Yeah.
Which is a super fun show. At Disneyland, it was in the now-defunct Bugs Land.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Aw, sad. I wonder what they're going to do with all those like animatronics and stuff. Do you think they'll just use them for parts at other parks or something?
Potentially. I'm kind of hoping they keep the theater around. Mm. So, well, you know what, though? The only thing I love about the theater is everything that they would be taking out anyway.
True.
Unless they do like an Ant-Man kind of a thing, because we saw the Ant-Man preview in there.
That's so true.
They might be able to redo it for that a little bit.
But before Disneyland or California Adventure did it, it was at Walt Disney World in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. Very popularly so, right? It's like they're
dead center in the middle of Animal Kingdom in their giant tree.
I believe that's what they like to call a Disney weenie. Right?
Yes.
It is.
And he's not just being crude.
Yeah.
It's literally what they call the major icon.
Right.
That draws you into the park. So the Animal Kingdom weenie
is
a tree.
The Tough to Be a Bug.
Yeah.
But in the base of it, really, it's exactly the same theater that's inside Disneyland or at California Adventure.
It does all the same effects. Mm-hmm. It's the same film. So it's all pretty much the same. It worked out really well for Florida. So they went ahead and moved it to California when they decided to do an entire Bugs Land and kind of expand the idea, I think.
Yeah, it seems to make sense.
And it's fun.
I loved it.
It's, you know, it's sad that it's out of California, but I guess now that we live a little closer to Florida, we can see it down there now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And it might be more full. It was never super popular in California for some reason.
But how much do you love the art of animation?
That's the one thing I'm going to miss the most about California, being this far away from it.
Yeah.
Because the Art of Animation building in California is by far my favorite place.
Yeah, it's pretty dang cool.
Yeah. And while Walt Disney World... Okay, so just to be clear, Tough to Be a Bug opened in 1998 in Walt Disney World, and then opened opening day at California Adventure in 2001.
Well, that's why they had to get rid of it. They're getting rid of all their original opening day attractions.
California Adventure. Right? Art of Animation, which for those of you that don't know, is a building dedicated to, obviously, the animation side of Disney. And for me specifically, they had the drawing classes.
Right.
And Walt Disney World opened this concept in 2002. It's now closed there. You can't do it anymore in Florida.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They took it out, I think, to put extend Toy Story Land or
okay.
something. They put something else there.
It always trips me out to hear that you had to close anything at Walt Disney World because they have 44 square miles.
Why are you closing things? It's like, things?
I think it's literally the size of Rhode Island.
Right.
Like, legitimately.
Right.
So the fact they have to close anything always surprises me. Like, it shouldn't.
And I'll have to say, the drawing classes in Florida were extremely advanced compared to the ones in California.
Oh, really? So...
Fun story. I went there one summer and you sit down in the drawing class and they announce who they're going to draw. In Florida, they didn't tell you beforehand. So you sit down and the artist was like, we're going to draw Elsa from Frozen. And all it's full of kids and, you know, casual goer adults or whatever. And everyone's like, ooh, yay, you know, all excited about it. And then he puts up the drawing that you're supposed to duplicate and it goes silent. And he's like, so let's get going. And they have a very finite amount of time.
Yep.
So he's just tearing through there. He's like, line here, circle here, through this here. Cause it literally reduced a little girl to tears because she couldn't go that fast.
Don't talk about me like I'm not here.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. But I have to pre-draw my circles when we do that class
right.
Because it stresses me out to draw a perfect circle.
But and you're not supposed to draw a perfect circle.
Well... Mine are very lopsided, like a flat tire. It's awful.
So Disney World's opened in 2002. I'm not sure the exact date that it closed. But then in 2005, they opened it in California Adventure in the most amazing building.
Mm-hmm.
Super beautiful.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
That'll be a whole nother podcast. Mm-hmm. And then it also opened in 2007 in Hong Kong, which I assume they're exciting. Probably even more advanced in Hong Kong because those people know how to draw like crazy.
Asians are so much more advanced than Americans.
Oh.
I'm only kidding.
That's racist. I know. I don't know if that's... Is it a good thing if it's race? I don't know.
If it's like reverse racism on
us. If you're praising somebody because they're better than you, is it still racist? I don't know. Anyway, then we move on to Toy Story Mania.
Yeah.
Which in... I thought was original to California for the longest time because it fits so well with the theming of California Adventure because they had it on the boardwalk and it looks like a boardwalk game type thing. And I thought it was original to that.
Yeah.
Come to find out, it ain't.
Told you. Nothing's original.
But you thought this one was really interesting.
I did. Yeah, because it was opened. Oh, it was open on May 31st, 2008, which is your birthday.
My birthday.
So happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
This is what you get. You get Mr.
Potato
Head. I
got Toy Story Mania.
But only 17 days later did it open at California Adventure.
They had that ready.
You know they
in
did.
In the box.
Because imagine it was way more competitive than we would be for this.
I'm
so
sure.
They're all about it. But then also in Tokyo 2012 is when they opened there.
I didn't realize that it was that close. They obviously had planned that one very specifically.
Right.
And Walt Disney World just barely eked it out a few days early.
Do you think they're going to do that with no, they're definitely not, right?
Galaxy's Edge will open in California a year before.
Oh, full year.
I think. Don't quote me on it.
Hmm.
So.
Got it.
which is interesting too, because they ain't got the space to do it. So California's cramming that Galaxy's Edge back in that back corner, and Disney World has way more.
Do you think that's
space.
Why? Is because it's going to be slightly larger and bigger and grander there by chance?
I think they're almost identical.
Yeah.
But I haven't looked at the plans. That's a conversation for a different podcast, I think.
About that one specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we move on to your favorite ride.
My very favorite ride.
The Space Mountain.
Yes.
And here's what I found interesting about it. This is the one of them that I knew right off the top of my head that Disney World had done first.
Yeah, it really is kind of what spawned this concept of this episode, right?
Right. The main reason that I know that it did it first is because I feel like the one in Florida is inferior to the Disneyland version. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Disneyland fan. I'm saying that because the Florida version, while it has two tracks, which I think is neat.
Yeah.
Disneyland has the music built into the seats.
Right. It does.
And so you get the full audio soundtrack the entire time you're riding.
Yep.
Versus in Florida, where you kind of go whooshing by a bunch of speakers every now and then.
Yeah.
Which I think kind of cheapens the experience a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of thought that it was actually broken that when we wrote it out there. I was like, oh. And that's actually, for me, what I love so much about Space Mountain is the music is so much fun.
Right.
That it just makes you just giggle the entire time that you're whooshing around. And when they switch it over for Ghost Galaxy, mm-hmm. Then they change up the music and it's a lot more scary and it's right in your ears.
Same
and
thing with the Hyperspace Galaxy, too.
Yeah, but that music's good.
It's all fun, yeah.
So when it's good music, I'm very happy about it, but when they turn it into scary music, then it upsets me, you know.
Well, and then so Walt Disney World, they opened in 1975.
Yeah.
And they kind of went the Matterhorn route where it's like three people in a row.
Yeah.
Versus the side-by-side version of Disneyland, which I think moves a bit faster.
Right.
And it's a bit more fun to sit next to your friends.
Yeah, it's far more fun to sit next to your friends. I like it a lot more that way, the fact that it's side by side. But you would think that since 1975 till now, you'd have time to put speakers in the car.
Oh,
like, don't you think
Disney World get on it? The thing I think about Disney World is they don't have a lot of time to have their rides down. Because they're such an international park. People get mad when things are closed at Disney World. But
you couldn't. You could build new cars and then just switch them out overnight one time, put in the new track.
I think they could personally. So Disney World opened in 1975. Disneyland improved it in 77.
Oh.
And then 83 in Tokyo, 2017 in Paris, and 2005 in Hong Kong. I don't know why I have those mixed up, but
they did it that. Yeah, the list had it that way. But I think it's cool to hear that it's in so many parks. Like,
it's
that,
so popular.
That's always incredible to hear. Yeah. Although that we know that like in Paris, it has a much different vibe, right? Like, it has like kind of the Tron vibe about it and stuff. And
it has a steampunk kind of vibe in Paris,
which I think is the coolest idea ever.
Right?
Like, how much fun is that whole concept?
One of these days, we got to get to Paris, right?
To see
Disneyland. I don't care about the Eiffel Tower. I want to see Disneyland. And it's funny because we're going to go straight from your favorite ride to your least favorite ride.
Of all time.
Of all time. The Tower of Terror. Which is funny because we rode the one in Disneyland first and you hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Florida and the way you do things is you do research.
Yeah.
And you found out how much time, effort, and money went into building the one in Florida first.
Yes, I did. $140 million for Tower of Terror in Florida.
Ugh.
Oh,
talk about sticker shock.
Fantastic, y'all. That is just amazing.
It's a lot of money.
For one ride. Oh, but it's quite worth it. And then the one that California Adventure ended up costing him like $10 million, I think it was.
Well, they took out quite a bit of complicated things from Disney World.
They surely did.
And for good reason. So Disney World opened Tower of Terror in 1994. And their version isn't just the up and down elevator ride. you go back and up, and then you go forward through a whole series of hallways, and then you go into another shaft to go up and down.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more movement, a lot more opportunities for things to break or go wrong.
Yeah, and it says that if the cart is off by an 18th of an inch, the ride shuts down completely.
Well, and you know what? I'm glad it does. Yeah. Because that 18th of an inch means that I'm not going to be decapitated.
Right.
Or have a broken bone or just dropped clear to the floor, you know.
I'm still not sure you won't be decapitated. I think their possibility still exists. I can
definitively say no one's been decapitated on the Tower of Terror.
That you know of?
They have to announce, they have to put those things out. No one's died on that.
I don't know. It's a spooky ride.
It's scary.
There's some spooky things going on with that spooky ride.
And I mean,
but listen, for $140 million, I gotta respect it.
That's the conclusion you came to. It's like, for $140 million, I guess I have to at least respect the ride. I don't have to love it.
Because that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. And you're just poo-pooing it. You don't even care how much money they spent.
Right. Well.
But now you do.
It's the only thing I really care about.
I wonder how much it cost them to overhaul the one at Disney's California Adventure to the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
I totally need to find that out, because I bet you it's more than the $10 million that it cost to actually open the ride originally.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't really do a whole lot. Like, the exterior got a major overhaul.
Yeah, but they just glued pipes to the outside. No, I'm only... Shame. I'm only kidding, you guys. But it kind of has that vibe about it, that they just went to Home Depot and just covered it in super glue and just threw everything at it.
They got it on sale. They had a coupon.
It
was Labor Day weekend. Good grief. But then here's another one that I thought was interesting. So Test Track opened in Florida. Test Track is a high-speed car ride.
Mm-hmm.
Opened in 1999.
Yeah.
And this is what I want them to do more often. So Test Track opens. It's a fun ride. People enjoy it. But when they moved to California Adventure, they decided to completely retheme it so that it's a Cars ride.
Mm-hmm.
In Cars Land, and it's a Radiator Springs Racers, where you actually have two cars going next to each other racing through Monument Valley.
Super cool.
Wait, this is exactly how they should share rides between parks.
Yep.
You can have the same concept, but do something different and give people a reason to go to California versus just staying in Florida or vice versa.
Right.
Right?
Right, absolutely. And that's what kind of concerns me about, like, Galaxy's Edge when it opens. If it ends up being exactly the same thing at both sides of the United States, then what's going to be the fun in going to the other park?
Right.
Like, it's kind of, you know, travel is so much more accessible than it is nowadays. Like, it's a $200 plane ticket now for us in the United States, you know, from go to side to side.
Right.
But, so yeah, just use your Sky Miles and get there. That's all I say.
But you know what's fun? So, much like how the price went extremely down with Tower of Terror, the price went extremely up.
Really?
Radiator Springs Racers.
No, really?
And it's actually one of the most expensive theme park attractions in the world.
It can't be more than 140. 100, more than 140 million?
$200 million.
Shut your wallet. What you talking about?
Hey, they ain't getting out of my wallet. They can't even find a quarter of that in my wallet.
Right. I thought you were going to say a quarter, because even that. You can't
find a quarter in my wallet. That's true. You might find a few moths, but that's about it.
$200 million for a ride they already had the track built for?
$200 million.
Oh, now that's... Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And that, I mean, when you've ridden... If you've ridden Radiator Springs, you know they have some cool animatronic cars in there.
Uh-huh.
It's a double track, so it's two separate cars on the same track. So I guess all of that advancement plus all the theming around it cost them $200 million.
And so Test Track, is that not side-by-side the same
one?
No,
it's a single car.
Oh, okay. So they doubled it up and turned it into a racing ride kind of a thing. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow. That is a lot of money. And which is really funny, because when we rode it, when we got off, we're like, oh, no, that was a cute ride, wasn't it? Oh, yes, yes, mighty cute. Yes, cute.
We turned British on Test Track?
But it's funny to me that they spent that much money, and I mean, It is an incredible ride, but we just like, oh, the cars were really nice. You can't, the way their mouths move, you can't even tell that it's like, you know, it looks real. So we were obviously impressed, but right. I don't know if I was $200 million impressed.
It's a fun ride.
I am now.
If you literally want to stand and stand by, you are going to be in that line for at least an hour. It never dips below an hour on that ride.
Not once, y'all, have we stood in the standby line completely.
No, like, I've never been in the complete standby line.
There's parts of that queue we have never even seen.
Never seen
that. I see some bottles off in the distance somehow, but don't know what they are.
I happily waved to those people from the single riders line. Enjoy riding with your family in this 30-second ride. I will wait in line for much shorter and get through much
Which is
faster.
Actually kind of fun to do when you go in the single riders line with multiple people, mm-hmm. because then you typically end up racing against them, right. and you can then all discuss who actually wins the ride, because...
I always win.
You do.
I don't.
Which I find interesting because you don't drive that way on the roads. But when you get at Disney...
You're calling me a grandma driver?
You're just very cautious.
I'm a grandma
driver. But not at Disney.
I'm not cautious at Disney. Y'all got to get out of my way.
Right.
And then the last one that we want to talk about was Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
Which apparently is the most popular ride on the face of the planet.
Apparently.
Because it's in every park that Disney owns.
Yeah. Right? Like... I'm surprised it's not actually at, like, California Adventure and Disneyland.
Right?
And, like, MGM at... Oh, silly me, it's not MGM anymore.
Did Hollywood. You just MGM Which this
I'm
park?
Not old enough to even know what that reference means, so...
I've never even been to there when it was MGM.
But, like, they put it in, like, four times at, you know, at, yeah. at Walt Disney World.
So, what I thought was real interesting about Buzz Lightyear is that Disneyland wasn't even the second park to get it.
Wow.
So Walt Disney World gets it in 98, right?
Okay.
And this is a ride where you sit in a car and they give you like a laser gun and mm-hmm. you shoot things and it gives you a score, right? It's an arcade type ride.
Or then, a laser tag. It's kind of laser tag type yeah. of a ride that you're actually in an Omni Mover moving the entire time.
Well, most of the time until somebody stops you. And then in 2004, Tokyo got it. Tokyo Disney got it.
Okay.
And then in 2005, Disney and Hong Kong, Disneyland and oh, Hong wow. Kong got it. 2006, Paris got it. And then just recently in 2016, Shanghai got their Buzz Lightyear.
So legitimately, six different parks?
Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't have it in Shanghai earlier. I wonder why.
Because Shanghai didn't exist. I still want to get... I would love to get to Paris, but I would really love to see Shanghai.
Yeah.
They took every Disney concept and just cranked it up to 11. They did so many different things with everything that I think it would be super fun to go
How
and see.
How great would that be? We've always said, though, that Buzz Lightyear... I've said multiple times that I would love it if they ended up putting in, like, fog machines in there so that when you're shooting your lasers through the targets, that you would then be able to see all of the laser shading all over the place, sure. which I think would be super cool to see, like, the lasers from different... Oh, it'd be so phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, if they do that in any of the parks, I'm going to be there
I
for it.
I think people want to take the laser guns, though, and take them to Small World, too, and... shoot some dolls in Small World. Do you think Small World would be more popular if it was a shooting game?
That's awful. Oh, that's awful. You cannot shoot no little child, no glitter child in the head with a laser gun.
It's a happiness gun. You're shooting them with the happy.
Shooting them with sparkles.
Zap, happy in your face. And if you hit enough, if your points get up high enough, they turn off the audio so you don't have to listen to the song anymore.
That would never happen. They would have to put the points so incredibly. In order to be, they'd actually turn it up higher or like loud or like turn it into like a techno version or something, ooh, you know, like EDM
techno
up.
Techno Small World. Oh my gosh. Now we're going to have to Google it and find it.
Oh, you know we are.
So as much as I hate to admit it, Walt Disney World did manage to do some things first. That I do enjoy.
Yeah.
And when we go down there for our first trip down there since moving, I will thoroughly enjoy all of these rides that Walt Disney World did first.
Yeah.
And I'll try not to be too bitter.
Yeah.
And I'll try not to compare too much.
We might go down there this week since we're in a state of emergency and can't be in Georgia right now. Oh, so, yeah. Hey.
What are the odds that Georgia's going to get hit by a hurricane and Florida isn't?
Florida
when in the
overran.
World does that happen?
Right.
But so do you have a favorite ride that only Walt Disney World did first? Or do you have a favorite ride that's only at Walt Disney World? Because there are a couple of those too. But we'll talk about those some other time, I'm sure. But until then, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.